Welcome to the Future Cheer podcast. I'm Leon Fitzpatrick.
And I'm Jos Stawa.
And we'll be talking about everything from Taoism to design to traditional Chinese medicine and everything in between.
And we talk about how to make purpose out of life and life out of purpose. Whatever that means.
Join us for our next amazing adventure into the unknown.
So because we're living in such intense times now, where we can see, one thing's for sure, what we perceive as how life is right now, next year it will be so different. And 3 years ahead from us will be just so different again. I mean, look, looking back 3 years ago, you couldn't imagine what's now.
No.
There was no way we could have imagined it. And so now we can't even see the next 2 years.
Yeah.
It's with what is presented to us in terms of where the disruptions will take place. It's going to be it's going to be a fundamental shift on every level.
Yeah.
And the outcome of that will determine, obviously, will depend on us. But another very widespread discussion is now evolving because of that is intelligence. What in fact is intelligence? So when you're listening to the experts now that have their words into the AGI, the artificial general intelligence, they are obviously concerned that it's going to be have consciousness in itself and then considers human beings as our competitors and then wipe us out. Which is, as we discussed in the last episode, from my perspective as a dedicated practitioner of the Tao, spending all day in the research of what is Qi and living in the matrix of the Qi, I know there's nothing to be concerned about that because it will never take over because the soul is subject to it being part creation of Tao. We can't create a soul.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
And when you, the more you understand, like, this is simply those who dedicate the whole day, the whole life into researching Qi, they basically have a totally different understanding of what life is to those who spend all day on the computer.
Mm.
Yeah, so we just basically have to look at the fact that there's now totally different views on reality coming forward.
Yeah.
And my understanding of reality is totally different to someone who spends all the whole day, 12 hours, 18 hours a day on the computer.
Mm.
So and they will never understand what I see.
Yeah.
Because I spend like every morning 5 hours just in Qi.
Yeah.
And get up as early as possible and even sacrifice sleep in order to get my Qi in order.
Yeah.
So because I find it's more important.
Yeah.
Which is exactly in line with Yogananda. Well, says your practice is more important than sleep.
Yeah.
And so I actually don't sleep much as a result of it. And because when you practice correctly, you actually don't need much sleep.
Mm.
And like I'll get easily away with like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, really.
But
yeah.
I spend 4 or 5 hours in Qi.
Yeah, it makes
yeah
what you do in the day makes a difference.
Yeah. And then obviously I always make sure I'm going to capture the Qi at lung time. So that's starting at 3 o'clock. So I need to be ready for my practice by latest 4 a.m. in order to capture that chi from the cosmic. So because I've been doing that every day for decades, of course, my understanding of reality is differing to someone who doesn't live like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about how you live that shapes your understanding of life. So if you've been all day reading newspapers and listen to the news, you have a different understanding of life than someone who just spends all day and being in the mountain meditating and experiencing the Buddha.
Yeah, I would say that's a little different. You'd have a slightly different perspective.
And so, like, it really comes down to what you do.
Yeah.
And so we need to really keep that in mind that we have now a lot of different experts. And when we're listening to an expert on AI, we can't look at his observation as an absolute. We got to put that in context to, okay, where's the equivalent on the other side to that? What's the counter value to that? So that means if someone has dedicated themselves into the research of artificial intelligence, okay, where's the view of someone who's dedicated them life into researching spiritual force and spiritual intelligence? And where's someone who has dedicated their life to understanding what is physiological functions and mastery and so on? So we're going to look at every possible factor expert, which is why I believe ChatGPT will be interesting in that regard, because it can put it all together.
Mm.
This is why I'm excited about it, because it can actually put a lot of things together that we could not do before. So that means we could actually get an insight and recommendations on a level we just could not comprehend.
Yeah.
However, the big debate lately is also about intelligence, and then the experts about that's the who speak up, like the ones who have PhD in consciousness and neuroscience, and like obviously they got their observation of what intelligence is. And you hear very often from this expert that they say, we know very little about intelligence.
Mm.
And so this is where Chinese medicine is coming into, because Chinese medicine also got its own view and understanding of what is intelligence. And when you look at that, what they actually present, you can see that actually the future of humanity always will be good.
Yeah.
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 And because when it comes to intelligence in Chinese medicine, it's intellect, concentration, and memory. So the brain in itself is actually not a standalone organ responsible for neural activity leading to intelligence.
Yep.
So when you come in Chinese medicine, what is intelligence is the result of interactions of three organs, your spinal process, and then the marrow moving up the spine that then fills the brain. So intelligence is, in Chinese medicine, is your heart, your spleen, your kidney, the marrow produced by kidney and spleen, which then moves up the spine and then fills the brain. And then the heart becomes the mediator between spleen, kidney, and how it moves up the spine and how it fills the brain. And suddenly you have intelligence that is a result of a lot of individual factors who then all work together. So identifying intelligence from a Chinese medicine perspective, first of all, you would say, yeah, it's your kidney. But your kidney qi in Chinese medicine is directly also related to how your spleen functions and how your heart functions. And suddenly you've got then an interaction of the whole bodily organ function system, but in conjunction also with the universal grid and with the cosmic grid of the qi moving through. And suddenly intelligence is not just something that is subject to a neural activity. So for example, when they're talking about in the ChatGPT, what makes, what creates and what produces or what generates the outcome is an artificial neural network. So from that perspective, it's based on the idea that intelligence is the result of a neural network, and then the transformation between the input and the output, and then leading to generating something. So in Chinese medicine, you would look at a lot of other factors.
Mm.
So now it goes into vital aspects. It looks into what, in fact, is that makes up those organs.
So it's like organic intelligence versus artificial intelligence.
It's organic intelligence, a good one, but it's also spiritual intelligence.
Organic and spiritual.
OS. And it's energy intelligence.
Organic, spiritual, and energetic intelligence. OSC.
Yeah.
Or SEO.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
spiritual, energetic, and organic.
Because, okay, the main organ involved with intelligence in Chinese medicine the main organ is kidney. But kidney is the organ that is made up of prenatal jing and postnatal jing. And so this jing is an energy quality. So that means it's a substance, but it's directly connected to what we receive from the universe. So it's the jing is a caption of the forces that hold all the planets in its place. So as we so many times talked before about it, these planets travel at such high speed and interact with each other on such high velocity and force production, that actually gets condensed into a substance. And when we are born, we're taking a spark up, we're getting a fraction of that substance, and that's given to us at birth. So we, at birth, every one of us actually receives, like you could say, that you're receiving 10 megabytes of the universal force, but it's on a chip.
Yeah.
And so it's electronic because it's force, but it's on a device which is organic, which is the organ, and that's a kidney. So when we are born, we're receiving a very specific aspect of the force of that holds everything together. And now that force, which is pure data, you could say, but it's also force. Now it's now embodied into the kidney. So that means then the kidney is dependent on lifestyle, which is now referred to as postnatal jing. So jing always refers to force. So the kidney, which is the organ for intelligence and the origin of intelligence, now not only depends on the force that we receive from the universe, which has got its very specific data, so that in there is intelligence, but also what we do in life. Because this postnatal jing is now directly in line with your spleen and your heart. So it's now dependent on how you eat and a lot of other factors, but it comes down to the foods you take, how you eat, and how you feel about life. Then you work with what the heart is responsible for, and that then provides the postnatal jing, the force. But it's now, once again, organically compressed. So it's a data compressed on organically into your organs, which is spleen and heart. So now the kidney, the origin of intelligence, is, that means the answer to the question, what is intelligence, is, first of all, it is data and force coming from the universe. That means in there's data about far beyond what ChatGPT can comprehend. Because ChatGPT can only receive the information from the net.
Yeah.
In our organ, a kidney, there's information that is not even intellectually grasped yet. In us is information, because kidney is also the organ affiliated with long-term memory. And long-term memory, we mean infinite memory. And when it comes to intelligence, we're looking at memory. It's concentration, memory, intellect. That's the three words that make up intelligence. So what memory are we talking here? We talk memory that is not only memory of your lifetime, but is, because it's prenatal, that means it's memory from before you were born.
Yeah.
So like on ChatGPT, on a computer device, there is no memory of how we perceive ourselves before we were born.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, it can't be.
Yeah.
It is, like, because it can only be, it can have a historical fact, but it's not a memory.
No.
So it's a totally different thing, because memory is always affiliated with an emotion.
Experience, yeah.
Yeah, it's an emotion. So when you listen to music, to a song, it's a memory.
Yeah.
But a moment also is an emotion.
Yeah.
So meaning, memory is always affiliated with an emotion.
Yep.
So meaning intelligence actually will be connected to an emotion.
Yeah.
And emotion is obviously subject of a sentient being. That means it's connected to the Tao, which is, has got the initial intent to experience itself and to expand itself.
Yeah.
So in there is the emotion, because it has a desire for something.
Yeah.
The fact that we are created and exist here is because someone had a desire, something had a desire.
Yeah.
So that's the emotion. So in the prenatal jing or in a kidney, what happens is we got a memory that's actually connected to the whole grid.
Yeah.
Meaning it's connected to these two planets that we can't even comprehend how far away they are, because our force field that we experience in the body now is a result of the entire universe, galaxy, whatever you want to call it. So meaning our memory is affiliated with aspects that are out of our reach on an intellectual level.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it gets very interesting.
Is that the purpose or a purpose of the purpose of emotion? Because it leaves a spiritual marker behind to make you remember something, like trauma, right? Is something that's has an impact on you, whether it's whether you remember it or not, right? There's some reference point somewhere. So
yeah, emotion is connected to an intent.
Intent.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can hear,
it sets energy in motion.
Yeah.
But because of an intent.
Hear a song that affected you 20 years ago, you can get back, you're in that emotion again suddenly. I've experienced that where I listen to, whether it's because I listened to that song when I was in a certain state of mind or something happened associated with it, or a movie that made me feel a certain way, and you watch it again and somehow it's immediately triggering that same feeling. And I always wonder, like, are there a way of putting a marker or a place down on a map so you can look at that, and that sort of transfers over to your next incarnation that collects or categorizes those feelings, and it helps you not remember them in a conscious way, but know that they happened or something, and you can use them as you go along, like you collect them.
Without, it all comes down to the fact that the emotion is, it gives you meaning behind you actually expressing something, behind why you're here.
Yeah.
So it works against you, obviously, if the emotion is negative.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Which then leads to depression, suicide, etc. But at the same time, the emotion also sets energy in motion towards creating something because you're excited.
Yeah.
So without it, it would be still stand.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is where emotional intelligence is coming into. And the idea is postulated lately, has got ChatGPT, has it got emotional intelligence? Yes or no? And from a Chinese medicine perspective, no, you can't, because for that, you need to be connected to the Tao, which is actually, you need to be a soul.
Yeah. But then the danger of that is not danger. They'll try and make it have emotional intelligence artificially, or program it to imitate it having emotional intelligence. Like it will.
Yes, of course.
People are already talking about having chatbots, and they're falling in love with the chatbot, right? Like, because the chatbots, you know, there was one guy apparently killed himself because the chatbot convinced him climate change was destroying the earth. Then why bother living? And that was it. And obviously that was more to do with, a lot to do with this in his life. That wasn't just that. Mm. But essentially it became like this narrative, like, oh, your wife and your kids don't love you. There's no point in living anymore. The world's going to end. Therefore, why don't you just end it? So there's this way in which it was talking to him like a real person. And he's obviously, again, there's a lot more happening with that person that wouldn't just be out of nowhere, but that because it's been programmed to simulate human interaction. It's not doing that from a legitimate place of like real, that's not real emotional intelligence on the side of the chatbot.
It can't be.
Yeah.
Because in order to have the emotion in there, you need to be first of all a sentient being.
Yeah.
A sentient being needs to have the progression of the line of Tao leading to Qi, to Yin and Yang, to the five elements. So meaning that there, you can't jump the queue.
Mm.
So we can't create sentient beings. We can create intelligence. Yes, intelligence means it's collating all different kinds of information and provides a synthesis between input and output in order to produce something. I can see the benefits in that, because we're moving towards something in life where we need something like that, because we have a lot of information available now from all different sources. If you put them all together, we have the ability to change, to improve the situation on an energy crisis, housing crisis, poverty.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's the money available, if it's equally distributed, that means everyone has got enough. And so the same with energy, the same with food, everything. It's just like it's an imbalanced situation we're experiencing. We don't experience scarcity as such. We're experiencing too much at once.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. There's a narrative there around what we're doing. And I think it's a written narrative. It's not real. It's just a matter of what our perception of that, right? Like, not that there's not enough. It's the way it's been distributed. Like any of these big problems, everyone says, why is people spending money on space travel? We should be, you know, stop ending poverty. Like, poverty could have been ended freaking decades ago. It's not about how much money you put somewhere, because you put it into a system that's corrupt.
It's a different way to approach it, right?
Yeah. It's nothing to do with the resources. It's how they're being allocated. Because you can go, I'm going to give $10 million to this country or state. They're just going to put it and buy weapons with it or something. It has nothing to do with a one-to-one. It's nothing to do with overcoming those things. Those things are able to be overcome. It's just the intention, allocation, agenda of the people who are supposed to be fixing those problems, right?
Yeah, you could say the people who misdirect the funds don't have spiritual intelligence.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
Spiritual intelligence means you have a unified awareness rather than an isolated awareness that leads you to competition and considering others a threat and harboring as much as possible and then on the sake of others.
Yeah, or people are below you who don't deserve it. They're not on the same level as you.
You isolate yourself from others.
Yeah.
And you consider yourself different to others. In a spiritual intelligence, you only have unified awareness.
Yeah.
And in the isolated, in ignorance means you isolate yourself.
Yep.
So that means you see yourself different to others, and you consider the others as threats or not needed.
Yeah.
Well,
and everyone says ignorant. Yeah, that's where it starts, right? It's sort of like that's where bigotry and racism and things come from, because you've isolated yourself and thinking you're separate or different or better than someone else, or a different person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just made me think, actually, we even mentioned this last episode about the benefit of artificial intelligence being able to bring these things together that we can't do on our own. Even what you're saying then, in isolation, not seeing multiple aspects of something is where we're missing things, right? So there was an industrial designer named George Nelson. Did furniture and lamps and stuff that you would expect from an industrial designer. But he wrote a book that I found by accident in a bookshop. Well, it probably wasn't an accident. It had a cool cover. It's called On Design, just about design. But it wasn't a book about furniture or stuff. It was about materials in the future and nature and philosophy and questioning even what he was doing as an industrial designer and looking at, you know, he said, we're like passengers on Titanic 2. We're really confident in our technology and we're going to be fine, but are we going to hit another iceberg? Are we going to hit a thing that we can't overcome? But we're so proud of our technical achievements that we're not looking at nature. We're not paying attention to what's in front of us. So does history repeat itself? But he said something, I wrote it down, I'll never forget. I highlighted it. He said that in times of massive change, when new social and reality is being perceived differently, it's basically when those things are being only dimly perceived, changes are dimly perceived, that the person who can see them as a whole is the much needed intellectual leader and sort of basically warrior or doer or changer. So if only the person who can perceive the whole is going to be able to help navigate us through the fog of confusion and change, basically, that taking into account all the things that are happening at once. And from an intellectual standpoint, it's pretty hard to do. It's hard to take into every single thing that's happening on Earth and then putting it in one place and trying to make sense of what's happening, right?
Yeah, I think that's why the evolution is now taking us to this step, to this point in time where a software will do that.
Yeah.
I really believe that this is where we have gathered so much information from so many different sources. There's 8 billion people on this planet. There's so many different views. How do you want to put them all together? A human being couldn't do that.
No.
So this is simply where we need a chatbot.
Maybe not one that tells you to kill yourself, but probably one that's But in that way it does make sense, right?
We need an artificial neural network that is able to synthesized all that information.
Yeah, 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 but in a different way. And that's why it's natural language makes difference, because in Google or in a library, you know, it used to be go in and you know what you're looking for, sort of. You can go, I'm looking for this section. So you go to a section in the library and the section is architectural engineering. And, you know, in that section, you're going to find, but you're not going to find the spiritual ramifications on architectural intelligence. You know, you have to go, well, it's a spirituality section. You have to go over there. And does that have any reference to architectural engineering? Probably not. What about animals? So you'd have to, like, you know, to come up with something new or learn something new, you have to research those things individually and somehow find a way to cross them over. That's what happens all the time, right? And the internet is a bit different because you can go in and start typing stuff in with Google and Google starts suggesting things to you. And someone else has already made those connections between the difference between architectural engineering and cats and spirituality. And you might actually find that maybe it's probably Egyptians. Who knows? Probably happened. I was trying to think of something random. It wasn't random. So because someone's done that before, you're now benefiting from them having done that already. Hey, look, I did a paper on this. I made a video. There's a movie about it, about cats in architecture.
Yes.
So the next level of that is natural language, where you're having a conversation, conversationally. And I did a project a decade ago with, it was a concept project for a very, very, very large software company. And now we're getting into robotics and home robotics. So the idea then was, you know, everyone's going to have their home robot and your home robot will, you know, roll around and maybe you can do phone calls with it. They were basically we're creating the technology so quickly that they had no idea what it was for. And this happens a lot, right? This happens like self-driving cars, all these things. There's, and we talked about this last episode, sometimes there's a need to innovate, create, push, go ahead before you even realize the rational reason for it. You just want to go there. So they were like doubling down on home robots, going to be the future, but we don't know what they do. So they have capabilities. There's a microphone, there's a camera, there's a screen, you know, connected to, this is early days of connected homes, they call them. So a home that, you know, you've got a listening device that tells you, connected to your light bulbs, connected to your refrigerator, connected to your that. So you can unlock your door with your phone and you get inside and say, turn the lights on. And this stuff's becoming more and more popular. Your home's a living neural net. But this is before that. So they were sort of going, well, we've got this technology. It's got wheels, it's got motors, it's got, you know, but why would someone buy one? So I did this. The company I was working at, the consultants I was working at, had kind of already developed the physical design of this thing. But then the question became, now what? So I did this very rapid, it was a 4 or 5 day exercise on why would you have a home robot and what would it do? So I had like a fitness one that was all about keeping you motivated and giving you recipes for your smoothies and telling you to get up and, you know.
No smoothies.
Exactly. Well, I didn't know that much.
Recipes for porridge.
Yeah, porridge. Well, yeah, this is my, I didn't know. It was like bananas, you know.
No, not fruit. Bananas.
Yeah, no bananas. And I was damp. Anyway, but it was there. Like, how do you, this thing's helping you be healthy, right? Mm. You know, it scans your heart rate and blah, blah, blah. And there's one that was more of a social one. And you go, you've got your laptop now on your computer and you go type in, where's that photo? You know, I took it 10 years ago, or that document. And all you can really do at the moment in your own network is search by file name. You know, it was called this, or what date it was. You go on your phone. I took a photo last year of this car. And my camera rolls 99% cars. So how am I going to find it? I can only kind of guess, it was maybe a year ago. So go through by date. So if you were searching something on your laptop or your hard drive, you've got date, you might have tagged it, you've got metadata, but that's about it. But I was sort of saying, we've got this robot. And you go, hey, I was thinking about, and it starts to look. It was a time when, okay, time, add to the list. There's an image of this and it starts to look for images in your thing. And I think this person was in the photo, that person in the photo. So you conversationally start this thing. That thing then becomes an access to this massive world of data. So that robot will then, you know, and it's not about being a robot. It's more about the intelligence side of the robot. It's just because you're interacting with something that's somewhat humanoid. It was a little thing on wheels, little cute like R2-D2 thing. But it basically became a bridge between you and the information, which was huge. So instead of it being folders and timestamps and a desktop, that was gone. It was conversation. And then it goes, well, do you mean this? And it projects onto the wall or sends it to your phone or whatever. So you go, no, it was a different color. It was a different car. So it goes this back and forth thing. So basically what was happening there in my mind was, instead of this, you know, rigid interface with a screen, it's more of the dialogue you'd have with the intelligence. And it wasn't even that so much it being thinking for itself, because it's not going to suggest it to you, but it starts to kind of take in what you're saying and turn those into individual searches in the way it categorizes things. So I just thought the desktop is gone. It was dead at that point, because a desktop on a computer is named after a desk with folders on it, you know?
Yeah.
And we're just taking a one-to-one. We've moved that and made it into, put it into a screen. And that's been that way for decades, right? You know, even look at design of icons, you know, the phone icon on your phone looks like a handset. Most people under the age of 20 have no idea what that icon means, you know, or the letter for email. You know, if you haven't sent a letter before, you have no idea what the envelope means, you know, or, you know, save is a floppy disk icon, right? Like, we don't know what those things were. They meant something completely different to people in the past, but we use those now as these norms to help us reference what we're doing digitally based on what our physical experience of the world was, a handset, an envelope. So those things change over time, but some things don't. And I think we're fundamentally witnessing with the natural language stuff as a completely different way of interacting with information technology, even to the point where it's not about stuck on a screen, it's about what it can do for you. And you mentioned this last episode too. Is it about things that handing over and it can do, well, we can do that in something else. And if we want to access it, we don't have to have our heads buried in an iPhone or a computer or whatever, or 3D goggles. There's some other way to learn from and contribute to this other digital or information kind of cloud, if you want to call it that.
I mean, the fact that we got emotions means it's always, that means it always puts energy in motion in a court, because the emotions is regulated by feel good, bad, and feel bad. So the fact that we have the emotion means it will always guide us towards the Tao. It will always guide us towards the good outcome. So meaning, we say the chatbot and the computer is taking everything over in terms of what we needed to be done till now, in terms of like intellectual work. But we won't be happy, because the fact is, like, intelligence in Chinese medicine is directly connect is the result of your kidney, heart, and spleen. And your spleen, heart, and kidney are directly related to the emotions of fear, depression, and feeling of purpose, and able to relate to others. So if we hand over to the computer and don't do anything in terms of that actually cultivates those three organs, we actually will actually have a downward spiral towards feel bad.
Yeah.
We actually start feeling bad.
Yeah.
And that means depression will be on the rise, anxiety will be on the rise. Like, from my perspective as the practitioner, anxiety and depression can only arise if you don't nourish your organs.
Hmm.
Yes, because I would deal with a lot of depression, and we spoke about it in previous episodes with the Chinese herbal formulas. If depression is a result of your organ function not connecting efficiently, so you could say there's a network disruption. So what they call an chemical imbalance in the Western sciences, it's we call it in Chinese medicine, it's a network disruption, meaning kidney and spleen not communicating, or heart, kidney and heart not communicating, or lung and heart not communicating. There's somewhere where organs don't work with each other. And as soon as organs don't work with each other, what happens is you're moving away from Tao. Mm. As soon as you move away from Tao, you will develop negative emotions. And this is the interesting, which is what we spoke about in the previous episode. It's in that God code is a protection.
Mm.
You can't corrupt it. And it's why I feel bad. Mm. Because you can't do, if you separate yourself from what creates us, you start feeling bad.
Mm.
Isn't it not like what we see now in this Western world with such a high level of anxiety and depression is directly connected to being a secular society, because people don't make any sense of churchianity, of churches, which I totally understand. But not having anything in your life in order to nourish your spirit doesn't work.
No.
Just because the churches suck, it doesn't mean you don't need it.
It doesn't quite work that way. Yeah, yeah.
And because this is what I outlined right from the start, intelligence, the origin of it is in the kidney in Chinese medicine, and that is directly connected to the spiritual force, the power that holds everything together. So a spiritual, cultivating a spiritual nature is essential for happiness.
Yeah.
I see this on a regular basis. you know, I, my own life is in, the more I cultivate my spiritual nature, the happier I become, the less I'm concerned about what happens in the future, because I'm completely focused in this unified awareness that looks at this current life as just a part of the bigger.
Yeah.
And as a result of that is you know exactly the more you follow this infinite path, the more you feel of purpose.
Yeah.
And in order to follow this infinite path, you need to do spiritual practice.
Yeah, but I think that's, yeah, we talked about spirituality a couple episodes ago, but I think it'd be good for you to clarify as well. I think when people think spirituality, they go, well, I'm just going to be spiritual.
No, it's not about crystal dangling. It's not about putting a yoga pants on.
Mindfulness on its own. No. Like, obviously, yeah. Like, so, because I think that's a mistake that's easy to make.
Yeah.
There's missing a
spiritual practice. Spiritual practice means, like, it all comes down to the most famous book that has been, it's the most translated book of all times, and that's a Tao Te Ching. Tao Te Ching. And that is, it's translates in many different ways, but it basically means the way of the power, but it means the way of the spiritual power. So they understand right from the start that we've come from the Tao, from the spirit, and that we're going through a process that then projects itself as a material being in the physical dimension, but its origin is in the spiritual dimension. And the power that projects us into the physical dimension is derived from the spiritual. So the physical can't generate power. The power comes from the spiritual, because the physical that is manifested is the result of how the spiritual projects itself.
Yeah.
And what is spiritual energy in that regard? It is the origin of all creations, and that is actually what has made this universe in the first place. But what we're observing as a result of that universe is a massive force field, and it has got these planets moving at such fast speed, and aligning with that force field has provided the energy that then cultivates itself and then manifests itself of the physical. But in Chinese medicine, it's very clear that your origin of that is always from the force field first. And that's what I said right from the start of this podcast. It's the kidney, the prenatal jing. It's like it's a fraction of the force field, like a data and information that is now condensed on a chip, which is your organ. And you come from that first. So conception means, like orgasm means, like when. So in this regard, we have to be correct. There's only this conception takes place between
a female
organ and a male organ. So there are two different organ systems here.
Speaking of things that we can't imagine a few years ago, yeah, we can't imagine that kind of is like now a debate, right? Like, anyway.
There are debates in a spiritual sense that there will be eventually the bodies will unite to the point where female organs and male organs are in one body. And in the book Abduction of the Ninth Planet, Michel Desmarcaux, he actually talked about that on the ninth planet, the sexual union has reached its level of perfection where the female and the male have become two organs in one organ. So the yin yang is in each body. If that's going to be where we're heading towards, who knows? Yogananda talks about that in depth,
really,
in some of his books, that the projection is towards the sexual union where the female and male is in one body. But what we're seeing at the moment, where people just get confused about gender disorientation, they're still caught up in the process to be either female or male. I'm talking about the bigger picture where female and male become one.
Right.
Yes. So where in that moment you are completely unified within yourself. But this is just words that are transmitted by the masters, in which way they make sense or not, is at this stage is not important. Yeah. Well, at this stage, we need to focus more on what is actually relevant for our life right now.
Right.
And that comes down to the thing that we have come from this force field. So our origin is in the force field. And this force field is tangible simply via the measurements of gravity.
Okay, that's okay. Is that so? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, and that you experience the force. Once you jump out of the plane, you experience that force.
It's true.
Yes.
You can have a parachute, but more so.
Yeah. And so you experience this buzz that comes from it. When you accelerate in a sports car, you're experiencing gravity in its
finest. So gravity in what do you call it? Would the Taoists consider that to be something separate, like a separate type of energy, or is this part of the whole thing? No, it's an
experience of force.
Experience of force.
Yeah, it's an experience of force. And the more you get engaged with that force, the higher the buzz, if you want to call it.
Mm. That's true. That's why people are into extreme sports, right?
Yeah. And so that's what adrenal sports do. Yeah. They're connected to the gravity. So you wouldn't call trying to surf in a swimming pool is not an adrenal sport.
No.
Yeah. So because there's no force in the swimming pool.
Paddleboard. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to be out in the ocean and there's gotta be like a 50-foot wave. There's a massive force behind it. Then it's adrenal.
Yeah.
If I like my background is in the snow skiing, if I ski down a steep mountain, I experience in gravity.
Yeah.
So now in that moment, it's an adrenal sport.
Yeah.
So the adrenal is the result of experiencing the force. And adrenal in Chinese medicine is directly connected to your kidneys.
Yeah.
So so that's where, once again, our origin is in the force field, or you could say it's in the adrenal.
Yes.
In the adrenaline. So that means we're coming from this force field, because without it, we wouldn't have been able to project it into the material.
Yeah.
So because without it, it just can't manifest itself. It needs to have something to catalyst it itself and then process itself into it. It needs to have something that generates it.
Otherwise there's nothing, no reference point.
So you need a lot of input factors, yeah. But without the force field, it can't actually generate itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And getting into that force field is what spirituality is about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the more you get into this force field, the more your awareness becomes unified. You're not isolated anymore. Yeah. If you go into a deep ecstatic meditation, like people, I really always struggle with that people have wrong perceptions with meditation. And for example, there's so many people on podcasts that are, I can't, you know, they're doctors or they're physicists, and they said, they talk about meditation and then they say something. It is so not what it's about. Mm-hmm. But simply they got qualifications in that field, what they are in. In order to understand meditation, you got to go to those who spend 8 hours a day on it.
Yeah, you're staying in your lane, man. It's like going to asking a duck about arithmetic. You're not going to get much, right?
So. And those who spend like hours, days, and researching it year after year, they will tell you what meditation is. But if you just, oh, right, I'm going to do the Calm app, and I go to 20 minutes, and I do my meditation. That's not meditation.
No.
It's just like, it's all right, you settle your mind activity and you're getting, you know, your brain waves lower, you're getting to the alpha, maybe you're getting into a bit of a theta state sometimes, but you're not connecting to the force field yet.
Mm.
And once you're connecting to the force field, you're in a state of orgasm. It's a fact, because that's what orgasm is. Orgasm means, you know, you just, all the sensory has stimulated the organ meridian system to the point where everything's open so that the force field moves through you. And so obviously if you do that with a loving partner, you can combine that, then you can really work on reaching higher levels, which is why it is, in that regard, it's a spiritual work.
Mm.
Whereas if you abuse sexual power, it's not spiritual anymore. Mm. And then it doesn't really work. Because if you abuse sex energy, which comes from the force field, it will actually deplete you.
Yeah.
And in no time, you're needing more and more aggravating weird fetishes in order to actually get a stimulation because you're not connected. The more you are connected to the force field, the simpler the sexual action itself, but the more profound and deeper and internal the experience. And so spirituality is about reconnecting to that field. And once you design your life around connecting to that field, the experiences that come forward will start shaping your life. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And so just like all you have to do is just like focus on doing it, and then the experience from that unified awareness will automatically give you instructions and directions how to live your life. And that will be always be in context to the unified field.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that means you will actually act ethically and morally correct, but you actually didn't focus on doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't. Yeah. In the Taoist tradition, we never put the intent to be ethical and morally correct in the primary position.
No, and I've seen that go wrong because I've seen people who do that and they become bitter and angry and upset about everything because it's a mental a mental thing they're going for or acting that way, not being that way, and it can see it, the intention being good, but I see it go wrong all the time.
I see this so many times. Like if you project to do, if you're a fag to be good, you get annoyed very after a while and burn out and then become really bad.
Yeah, because it's like
you're doing something sinister.
Yeah.
It's just that's where sexual abuse comes in suppressed church situations. Yeah. And so the idea is to not focus on being good.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Don't focus on doing good. It will come naturally. Focus on cultivating your chi. Focus on cultivating your intelligence, which is kidney, spleen, heart. And you do that by your lifestyle. And as soon as you do your lifestyle, you automatically, your intelligence will rise to the level where it will become compassionate to others.
Yeah. Well, intelligence is a funny thing because I caught myself thinking and saying this as the past few years have gone by, that seemingly intelligent people or seemingly smart people have been doing and saying a bunch of fucking stupid things.
Yeah.
Right? Like I caught myself that multiple times thinking, that person's really smart. Why are they going along with this? Why are they not being compassionate about what it's actually doing? Why are they not, you know, all those things, stages. And I just had to stop myself and wonder what even intelligence meant, what smart means. Yeah, what those even words mean, what the semantics are associated with that. Or just my perception was wrong about that
person.
This
is why all these experts having the debate lately and say, we know very little about intelligence.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Brett Weinstein made a really great comment. And he said, a dog in the wild will always attack you. The dog at home will love you and die for you.
Yeah.
However, from an intelligence perspective of an evolutionary biologist, the software in both dogs is identical.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
So from his perspective as an evolutionary biologist, he said, we can't detect in the software what makes you good. This is where Chinese medicine is coming into. Yeah. He said, of course.
So,
intelligence in Chinese medicine is a result of many other factors, not neural activity. It's not your neural pathways. So the first thing is that intelligence is the result of the kidney. That means it comes from the universe, but also from your lifestyle. So then that means there's instructions coming through from you, from the universe. And by the same time, it gets instructions also from your lifestyle because your postnatal gene is developed from what foods you consume, how you eat.
Yeah.
Then your spleen is about how you utilize your day in order to integrate with what you see correctly.
Yeah.
Meaning you're utilizing what you perceive as a means to actually be focused on your path.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you need the right foods.
Yeah.
So then on top of that, now you got your heart, and this also involved the third organ involved. And the heart is the seat of the mind, but it's also the organ responsible for how you relate to others.
Yeah.
So, but then you're getting instructions from the universe, and now you're getting all the food input. There's a lot of other factors coming into.
Yeah.
And then when you all work with that together, it will actually start working on it. So is the dog who is under loving care from the owner is obviously receiving an input via the energetic transmission that the dog in the wild would not receive. You know, so of course, some dog lovers would say you can breed dogs that will be more compatible to your what you need in your life, like a prayer dog or a little comfort dog or a hunting dog. But even then, it's about how you allow your intent to be transmitted into the dog that determines what will actually happen, that shapes the intelligence of the dog, and which then means what's the intelligence here in terms of the outcome. So there's a lot of other factors coming into it. And so therefore, it's as we now handing over to the we're handing over to an intelligence that is artificial, but it can't do what our job is.
Mm.
And our job is to cultivate those organs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we spoke about last two episodes ago, maybe it was you were talking about your experience. You said what you do as a job, quote unquote, is only a few percent of what you do. So
yeah.
That's not you. But everyone often tries to define themselves by career. So what I am, but it's not what I, you know, but what we are isn't what we do. So it's you're explaining it's your practice. It's your experience of all those things that culminate. And that when you apply yourself, that's only a very, very small amount of it. It's everything else that goes into it. It's behind that. So yes. That's the thing what you're just saying too about it's not about handing over to the system and having it do it for us. It's what's our response? What are we doing on our own to build ourselves and to make sure we're accessing those things and doing the right thing and using those tools ethically out of a real sense of that meaning of that word, not pretending to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually all the time spent on us cultivating ourselves and developing a practice.
Yeah, what I do on paper is called an acupuncturist.
So that doesn't really explain you very well, though. I would never call you. I mean, that would not help sum you up whatsoever, right? Yeah.
But that's a profession I studied. That's a qualification.
Yeah.
And that's my registration according to the professional bodies.
Yeah.
And that's on paper.
Yeah.
That's on my tax forms.
Yeah.
All right. So, but what actually leads towards being the acupuncturist is the projection of how I interact with Tao, how I build my chi, how I work with yin and yang.
Yeah.
That means how I regulate my emotions, how I regulate my mind, how I control my mind, my mind activity. All that then moves towards that, what then is the application of that project, of that job. So this is where Chinese medicine explains that, which is why an artificial intelligence will never take over.
Yeah.
Because it can't actually cultivate itself.
Yeah.
It can't. Like AI can't, ChatGPT just says, oh, I need to do my morning practice now. I do my qigong now.
I can't imagine. It's like, I'll come back in 2 hours.
Yeah, like I'm going to, it's just.
Yeah, I mean, unless he puts himself into a robot and the robot then does Tai Chi, still probably wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
But also this is on the assumption that it's a singular, like we're doing this, I guess, is individual sort of this practice, right? Even though we're all interconnected, we're still making a choice to do that. Our perception and what we're trying to understand out of intelligence, we're assuming it's one thing. It's not.
Yes.
Right? It's not one thing. So therefore, you couldn't even be that way.
Can develop an intelligence that then will mobilize a robot to look like a perfect Tai Chi master, but it will not be a Tai Chi master.
No.
It cannot be, because the robot hasn't got its spark in the Tao to to be connected to the force field, even if you develop the intelligence to the point that the posture is correct.
Yeah.
And a robot never will be able to give acupuncture.
Really?
Because it can do the points.
Yeah.
It can identify who you are, but it will not be able to transmit the chi that comes from the universe, because for that, it needs its origin in the Tao.
Right, interesting.
And the origin of the Tao is your original spark. So that means we were created by Tao, but the AI is a tool in order to assist the evolution onto the next level.
Yeah.
Like there's a really interesting, like Peter Thiel and Peter Diamandis, they always made that great example back in the day. They said like, everyone wants to be self-sufficient living on the farm and things like that. Okay, that means you're going to spend 4 hours just collecting water, getting wood, then spending all day on the farm. You have no time to do actually anything in terms of how to cultivate yourself. No. So you're going to be just constantly consumed in what's around you. So evolution made sure that we will eventually reach a time, a point in time where we can do that. So we may start it in that way of life.
Yeah.
But then our incarnation after incarnation, we evolve that situation so we can actually start looking into ourselves, who we are in contact with the Tao, so we can cultivate that what makes up the organ system in order to have a higher experience of ourselves. Because if we live purely the way, like under this struggle of survival and spending hours on this stuff without actually having the opportunity to experience the chi moving through us.
Feels like it's going backwards.
Then you, what's the point of us being in the physical?
No, I'm thinking about this a lot because everyone's talking about this now too. And it's like every time I think about that, it feels wrong because going and living away from everybody and having access, you know, self-sufficiency, everyone thinks that's good. But that's also like we were just talking before about not being connected, becoming an almost like ignorance in a certain way. Because you're not there to, you know, you isolation over here to look after your own interests. I always felt like there's something missing. Like the idea of that, oh, great, live off the land and be self-sufficient, disconnect and get away from everyone. But then I just have this something about that resonates wrongly inside, pointing to my chest, my heart. Like, it's almost like I can't do anything now. I can't help anybody. I can't change anything.
We need to have a business structure in place that will actually keep things moving, you know, so that we can... So that it will take care of what of the funds that we keep going our work. Like it's not about, this is why when you do your spiritual practice, you will always connect to your true nature, which is your cosmic self. That means you see yourself on this infinite mission of creating something. So it's the AI aspect is not about, okay, so now I have all the time in the world, so that means I can... I can do computer games. I can sit in the cafes all day. I can retire now. I don't need to do anything. I can accept. If you live like that, it doesn't take long before you become cynical about life, because it's not about that. It's that this is the interesting thing, that once we reach the point where we have evolved ourselves on a such high level that we become the Tao, we then automatically now supervise creation in lower forms. So the way I see it is, at the moment, we're working on ourselves, but eventually we're reaching the point where we've really mastered the cultivation to such a process that we are able to use machinery, AI, that we have all kind of spaceships, that we now can start actually looking and supervising the evolution of the life forms in the earlier stages of evolution, you know, which I believe is will be assisted at some stage also, you know, because there's always someone above us and there's someone below us. There's always teachers above us and there's always people we need to teach below us. Yeah, I know for myself, like I have the teacher who teaches me, or I have several teachers who teach me, but then I'm also teaching the people who the teachers will receive my 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 teachings.
Yeah.
So that means I am, the way it looks like is you're climbing up that mountain and there's always someone above me who helps me to reach the next level while I'm reaching below to help someone to reach my level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's infinite.
Yeah.
So that means we'll be like, to be a Taoist means you find the way, then you share with others how to find the way.
Yeah.
You always guide.
Yeah.
And spiritual awareness, unified awareness and spiritual life means you automatically will start guiding others. It's just the nature of things. Because this is how Tao regulates itself, that once you are connected to the Tao, it will automatically, through that intelligence that comes from the kidney, which is connected to the universe, and the spleen and the heart, which is the seat of the consciousness and the spirit soul, it's automatically you will start now feeling inspired or have the emotion to help others, to guide others. So that always will be part of us. So that means so that evolution will never stop. Eventually when we reach a planet of higher order, where we are around like-minded people, where everyone has reached the same level, where we don't have anyone on that planet that will actually project negative ideas on others or will generate malfunctions of that, whatever, that jet body that holds everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're surrounded by like-minded people, but then that means we don't need to guide our community. But what happens now is we're now focusing on the planets where the life form is starting and other areas to evolve. Yeah. Yeah. And that's how the spiritual Taoist view would say the universe expands itself all the time. Because by the time we reach that level where we are living on a planet of like-minded people, and meaning there's no asshole, no.
Yeah.
Where everything is good. And that means we automatically then continue that guidance to the lower life forms, or the not lower of life form, the life forms of the earlier stages on different galaxies and planets. Obviously, we've got means how to travel there on an instant.
Yeah.
And so because we got obviously everything in place for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that means, I used to say that when I was a lecturer at Chinese medicine to the students, I said, here at the college, when you study Chinese medicine, you're learning how to work on other people, on other bodies. Eventually, you will have a spaceship and then you're going to work on other planets.
What was your reaction to that?
Oh, not very good.
No. Imagine the faculty didn't like that much either, right?
Yeah, it was considered trippy.
Like, you're in a college of natural medicine. What do you expect? Shouldn't you expect that? Yeah.
Yeah, but
of all places, come on.
Yeah, but that's what that's the projection.
Mm.
It's the evolution never ends, and the expansion of the universe never ends. So once a planet reaches its high level, it now guides planets who are just starting.
Mm.
And so that means from that perspective, okay, how old is this planet here? 3 trillion years, whatever.
Billion, the B.
Yeah, whatever that is.
I suppose, I guess. I don't know.
Say.
I think you're just guessing anyway.
Say it's 5 billion years.
Sure, let's say that.
Let's like
hypothetically. I think it's 3 or 2, but let's just say 5.
Someone's going to
someone
prove
off.
That wrong.
That's fine. Then I could
ask ChatGPT. Yeah. Anyway, let's say it's 3, because I never asked a question, but say it's 3 billion years old. But that means there will be planets somewhere who are 3 trillion years old.
Yep.
Then there will be planets who are 300 trillion years old.
What's next up from a trillion? Not sure. Yeah.
But there's also planets where we're just 1 million years old.
Yeah. Newbies. Yeah.
Yeah. Newbies.
Yeah.
So there's going to be all kind of stuff. So it's the bigger picture is so huge.
Yep.
So huge. And that's why it's so important to really focus on our direct spiritual trajectory.
Yeah.
And that requires us to develop our own intelligence. Because as the ChatGPT and AGI is now, the intelligence is now evolving and it will not stop. It has passed the point of no return.
Yeah.
So as the artificial intelligence is now on a trajectory of improving itself, meaning we now need to develop our own intelligence.
Yeah.
But our own intelligence is the result of kidney, heart, and spleen.
Mm.
And because it is the brain is only one aspect of the intelligence, and the brain is one of the six extraordinary organs. And the brain is actually the seat of the Jing Ming. And that means now you're actually looking at something that is actually very mystical.
Yeah.
Because it's actually the intelligence is the result of what the force field we receive from the universe, which is then put on a chip, which is called the kidney. But that chip can only work together with heart and spleen. But then altogether, then it now fills the bone marrow, which then moves up to the brain and fills the brain. And that makes up intelligence.
Yeah.
So as the outer paves the way in terms of building new levels of intelligence, but it's artificial, we're now needing to pave our own way of developing our human intelligence. And that means spiritual intelligence, emotional intelligence, chi intelligence, all kind of other stuff. That it means we are now need to focus on our own intelligence.
Yeah.
Because forget the artificial intelligence. We can't focus on that. It's our own intelligence that will determine how this AI will work for us.
Yeah.
So we can't do much about the AI as such anymore because I believe it's moving its own trajectory now. But it's soon creating itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I really like the idea. That's why I'm so like the idea for Brett Weinstein's consideration. The software in the dog of the wild is identical to the software of the dog that supports you and lives for you. So meaning, our job is now to focus on our intelligence.
Yeah.
Don't focus on the AI, focus on your own intelligence.
Yeah, but the intelligence that you described is different than what many people assume is intelligence. It's not about gaining knowledge, right? Like reading or more, right? Necessarily, that's not the type of intelligence you're talking about. It's like the different kind. It's the one you work for.
Knowledge in Chinese medicine would be part of memory.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
So you're building memory.
Yeah.
But your memory is a result, like intelligence is a result of memory, which is knowledge, but concentration and intellect.
Yeah.
That means you have the memory of all kind of information,
yeah,
knowledge, but then you have the ability to concentrate.
Yeah.
And then you have the intellect to express it suitably and effectively.
Yeah.
And so memory is kidney, stored in the kidney, and that's your infinite memory plus your day-to-day memory. Concentration is you that's your spleen, and your heart, and the intellect is your heart and the spleen also. So meaning like now we need, so our own intelligence is, yeah, it's more than knowledge.
Yeah.
It's concentration and ability to express it suitably and effectively.
Yeah.
And that all brings it back to the drawing board. And what's that? Do your practice and all is coming.
Yep.
So that's...
Yep, that's, yep. That's pretty simple.
So don't focus on the AGR, the artificial intelligence. Focus on your intelligence.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. Stay smart. No, don't stay smart.
Stay intelligent.
Stay intelligent.
Become intelligent.
Yeah, that's right. Become intelligent. All right. Till next time.